And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Andy White and Nick Butler talk social media.
I think if we have an intro that's based on people scripting it, they're not going to get it.
So what do you think we should say?
Conversations around social media, technology, two of the brightest social media entrepreneurs in the south of England today.
Yeah, let me write that down.
I think the idea is we've got to go around every cafe in the south of England and record a different episode each one.
What should we call it, though?
It's all about social media. It's Andy White and the Loudmouth Man. Social media white noise.
I like it.
And now... Oh, sod it. Everything they just said.
Yeah, I can't see the hidden button at the moment.
We're on air now.
That's it.
We're on air.
I was looking for the hidden button, you had it.
I had the hidden button. Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pod and...
Show number 23.
Yep, and Nick, of course.
Nick, aka Loudmouth Man. Show number 23, social media white noise. And free Google Waves. Free Google Waves for all. That's what we're offering. Free Google Waves for all. Hello, Google.
Nick, I think you've misled our listeners, and I'm quite worried that
you're letting the cat out of the bag now, aren't you?
We're going to get
pursued. They're all going to tune out. They're all going to tune out, that's it. We realised that the free Google Waves... So have you got your Google Wave?
Nope.
No, I haven't got my Google Wave.
How does one get a Google Wave?
I have no idea. Apparently the invites are out there, but I've not had a Google Wave. And, you know, I to be honest... Having had a look at it, I mean, I realise that it optimises your email, it increases your collaboration, it reduces your bifidus digesterol, it improves your digestive transit, and it's better than yoghurt. But I actually have not had a chance to play with it.
I know someone that waved at the Google van the other day.
Your Google van's down here, is it?
Well, a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. So what are we covering today? Google Wave, obviously.
No, I'm sorry, you have the mapping van that goes around, the street view stuff. So you guys haven't yet worked out that now's the time to sort of pose for sort of fake murders and fake scenes ahead of the van. So that as it comes past, you can have this whole story being told.
There's a mad axeman hacking someone to death.
Yeah.
Luckily, their faces were pixeled out.
Thanks to Google's privacy policies. I mean, the victims will know for sure. Oh, great.
I think this is going to be one of the most untidy starts to a show we've ever done. We're talking about phishing, Foursquare London, is it QNAP TS?
The QNAP TS410, the Drobo beta.
Oh, man.
And we're talking about Google Wave invites.
And I'm going to talk about a couple of interesting articles from the Zen newsletter. That's how cheap I am. I get my articles from the Zen newsletter.
Before we get started, where are we?
Securi and Ustar. I'll talk about those at the end. So Google Wave, what's happening with Google Wave?
Before we get started, where are we?
Oh yes, where are we? Where
are we? Because we do this show, we do it in a cafe. And this cafe is...
Can you recognise this impersonation? Today we are at the Inside Out Cafe.
Okay, so that's the Inside Out Cafe.
Yes.
In Brighton, or cafe in Brighton. I don't know, you're Brighton more than me, I have no idea which street we're in at the moment.
It's on Gloucester Street and it's sort of on the edge of the lanes, the North Lanes.
And we're drinking coffee from the unusually wide, shallow cups of opportunity.
These are the cups that you complain you need a specially shaped mouth for.
Well, you anticipate that you can hold it with the handle.
Yeah.
And then you pick it up with the handle and you realise that actually the weight of the coffee is such that you're going to end up spilling quite a lot of it. And then your hand comes across to grab the cup, scalding your fingers at the time. By this point, you're committed to the act of, well, I'm going to drink it, and I don't want to let go of the fact that I'm now bringing this cup to my lips. And
I think what Nick's trying to say is they're just wide cups that you need two hands for. Right.
I like a mug. Give me a coffee in a mug.
It's funny, actually, this morning when Nick arrived, he had a support call.
Yes, well, we'll not talk about my clients on that. It's terribly boring. It was a support call, IT stuff. Oh gosh, right, the server's down. There's a Monday morning surprise. It's been kind of weird. We've had some power supply issues in Sussex, obviously, and it's affected quite a few people. I was quite surprised that I didn't get more phone calls, and yet I was unsurprised because I put in things like uninterruptible power servers, and you know, I plan for these events so that things are managed. But in this particular instance, it just looks like a machine that hands out IP addresses It's not handing out IP addresses. In fact, it appears to be on the network.
It's just standing there with its arms folded, saying, "I'm not doing anything."
Indeed, indeed. And
yeah, my router does that sometimes.
This is a new client take on. So as yet, they don't have all the sort of fallback stuff plugged in by me. Yeah. So we're still doing the point of transitioning them from an old FreeBSD server to a newer Linux Ubuntu server.
Okay.
And once we've done that, we'll also be running up a Zeitzel 66H. Insert your three-letter acronyms here, which is an ADSL router, and basically that can also hand off DHCP services as well. So,
okay. It's not one of these smart hubs, smart switches.
Not so much, no, it's not a switch, it's actually a router, but okay. It has some really good built-in firmware for handling things like packet management, quality service control, router control. It's a very, very powerful bit of kit. This is £70 that you buy it for. Mm. And for an ADSL router, one of the things I like about it is if you've got two ADSL services on site, which we have at the moment, you can put two of these routers in place, and one can be the backup gateway to the other. So that in the event that the internet access is unavailable for the router A, it will hand off services to router B transparently. Mm. So that the network will basically transition from one place to the other without having to reconfigure anything at the client ends.
Sounds pretty good. So I've put in the show notes Zeitzel Cleaver router. I meant to put Clever.
Yes, probably. I'll go back and edit those routers.
So instead of, you know, yeah, never mind.
Okay, so if we are talking about Clever Tech, a really big shout out to Ultimate Storage.
Okay.
Big shout out. Yay! Ultimate Storage, the UK, one of the UK distributors for QNAP. And QNAP is sort of a range of storage devices, storage area network devices.
Yeah.
And I sort of saw a review on Engadget for the TS410, which is basically a 4-drive network area storage device. Mm. Very similar to the Drobo initially. So you think, okay, USB connection, network area storage connection. But the more I look at it, the more I realize this is a Drobo beta.
Right.
Because with the Drobo, I get a device that comes with FireWire or USB. If I want to connect it to a network, I've got to connect it to a Drobo sled, so that's an additional £150. Mm. The Drobo sled has a number of applications that run on it, but not necessarily natively. It's a single gigabit Ethernet connection. There's no support for iSCSI, which, you know, I'm a big fan of. It's at a new level of delivering disks and virtual disks over the network.
Carry on, I'm just doing some technical things here because you've got a crackling in your line.
As a result, it's like, well, this is good, but not quite all there. Here comes QNAP with their TS410, or the 410, 416, and 419 range.
Yeah.
And it's basically, in a single box, you can have up to 4 drives, RAID or JBOD configured. So you can just have a bunch of disks, you can have it RAID configured. It's hot swappable disks, so the storage can increase with you as you need it. It's got built-in networking straight off the bat. It's got built-in eSATA. So you can either connect this to as an external SATA disk drive, or you can connect this via the two dual gigabit connections. You can bond them together, and as a result of that, you can get a load-balanced failover gigabit connection to a network storage device that can be running iSCSI targets, and that in turn can be the virtual drives for your other bits of hardware in your network. And at £340 out of the box, that's not including the hard drives and VAT and delivery.
I was going to say, hard drives, they're like the drive, you put them in separately.
So it's just arrived today. Ultimate Storage have been really kind in sending me a loan device to evaluate.
And we have to upfront that, don't we? It is a loan device.
I've been given it.
Yes.
I've not been given it for free, so I don't get to keep it.
Right.
I get a chance to review it, and I get the opportunity to invite a few people along to the house. We'll plug it in, we'll give it a play, and we'll get some real world sort of storage expertise with it. But the other thing I really like with it is it comes with a built-in DNLA and UDP MP. More three-letter acronyms than you can shake a big stick at. But basically,
you
can plug in a bunch of MP3s to this device, and it will provide an iTunes interface to your iTunes library.
So it's got a built-in iTunes server.
So it's basically a built-in iTunes library server.
Dubious about
and
those.
Built-in streaming server for your Xbox or your PlayStation 3.
Okay, all right.
So I'm like, this for me is a all-in-one. This is a fun box to go and have.
Yeah.
So we will have a play with it over the next month, and we'll be talking about it a bit more in the show.
So you'll be having a couple of QNAP TS400 410 parties.
I've got one TS410, and we will be having a TS410 party.
Okay.
It'll be like a Windows 7 party, only more camp.
Ooh, sounds pretty good.
It's got me excited and just a little bit moist.
Do you reckon it's better than the Drobo?
I tell you, out of the box is better already.
Okay, is it
out
prettier?
Out of the box, it's got more features on it, it's right. got more promise to it.
Is it shiny though?
The thing is, I'm guessing that the problem is because it has so many features versus the Drobo,
yeah.
people would probably look at the Drobo and think, oh, the Drobo looks sexy and it just does one thing that I wanted to do,
yeah.
therefore I'll go and get it. Mm. Whereas this, very clearly is a box that screams computer fair market Sunday afternoon purchase. Mm. So the design on the box is just feature,
yeah.
which for someone like me, you know, who's just three-letter acronym excitable, that's one thing. But I think for a lot of small offices, small businesses, home users, this is the device that I would say would beat the Drobo.
Okay.
But I'm hammering that one away. We'll go away and have a play with it. So that's the TS410 from Ultimate Storage.
Okay, so continuing the tradition of not being in order that the items appear in the show notes, I just want to quickly talk about Securi, which is something that I was pointed to recently. And basically what Securi, it's SUCURI.net. Basically, you put your domain in, it seems to be free, and it does a bunch of security checks every 60 minutes or so, and if it discovers anything that's changed, it sends you an email. So I just signed up this morning, and apparently it's still in the queue. Entry in queue will be available soon.
So this is basically doing a regular sort of port test and finger scan.
I believe so.
It's
doing
more than
that. It's looking at the web. It's doing some things on the website. Don't ask me what. It's looking up the WHOIS, the DNS, the certificate if there is one, and seeing if you've been put on any blacklists. I shall give you a full review on our next show.
So we'll have a look and see. Well, obviously, if we plug that at Social Media White Noise's website.
Yes, I'll add that to the list of ones it's pointing at.
Because I know that if you are a Ubuntu user and you've been installing the more recent Ubuntu servers, mm-hmm. you'll notice there's a new service from Canonical, which is basically like an uptime monitor for your server.
Yes.
And it's sort of an extension of like the sort of Nessus plugins where it's monitoring your server's uptime and functionality on a remote server so that you can then get reports back as to your server's sort of bandwidth, disk space.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's doing That's internal nice. Monitoring of through an external service and reporting that back to you.
Okay.
And again, that's sort of like, you know, an external PHP sysinfo. It's just the way to do external system monitoring that's being built in. It is one of those services that Microsoft out of the box should be offering on some level.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm installing a Windows box, there should be some little client that I can plug in and tick the box on to say, back at Microsoft.com, under my passport, I want to have a list of servers I look after and how they're performing. And if there's a problem, email me or text me.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's the Ubuntu community, it's the Linux community that are way ahead of the drag curve on system administration, system management, tools to do these jobs.
I mean, there are tools that you get, aren't there, where you put a little server into each PC and it will phone home to a central control panel you've got somewhere on your...
Well, I overheard an interview, sort of tech talk conversation on a podcast, which I'm not going to remember the name, obviously going to frustrate me now, but basically servers now coming with built-in mobile phone chips.
Oh, right.
So you put a SIM in there, and the mobile phone SIM is basically dialing home.
Okay.
So you've got sort of this remote, external, you dial this number, and it can report.
Cool.
And I'm sure people will point us to what this is.
Just a very quick one, Nick, while there's a slight lull in the conversation. How are we getting on with the three dongle, not the dongle, the three device?
This is the three mobile Buzz.
Yeah.
Three mobile Wi-Fi device.
Which I'm using at the moment. I'm connected to the
internet. Which we're both connected to at the moment. It's got to go back. Again, this was freely provided to us by 1000Heads.
Disclosure. Yeah.
Freely provided to us by 1000Heads. And my review will go up a bit later, but for me, I mean, we're sitting here and it's working, right? And it's great. When it works flawlessly. Mm. But when it's not quite working, it's more... You feel less like a road warrior and more like a road worrier. Because there's no sort of intuitive interface to it.
You mentioned this last time, there's no sort of feedback.
There's no feedback, so you don't know what it's... I mean, at the moment, it's sat on the shelf, and how it is, I'm afraid to touch it. It's on the shelf, I don't want to touch it because it's working.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, and you almost feel like, well, if you look at it strangely, it might just sort of hang up for no particular reason. It's a great device when it's working, and it's working for us, and we did a whole show with it last time.
Yeah.
And we got the show uploaded, but... Yeah,
okay.
We'll see what we think at the end of this.
Okay, how are we doing?
I would say, will I get it? Yeah, I want one. Yes, I'm going to get my clients to get one. Novatel, who provided Documentally, first Documentally mentioned in this podcast, they are very kindly going to send me down an alternative to this. So we'll have a chance to play with that and play with this, give it a balance, see which one comes out better.
Okay, well, we're 15 minutes into the show. Oh, well, 14 minutes, 20 seconds to be precise. What's this about fishing? You've got a fishing entry
fishing.
In
the, and here we are down the show notes, so let's go fishing.
Fishing, is it better online? You've obviously got something to say about fishing. This is PH fishing, not F fishing.
Okay, so...
What it is Will Harris TM, DM. Yes. Old joke.
There was the initial scandal that thousands of Hotmail accounts had been exploited and that people were gaining illegal access to it.
This was like last week.
And then, of course, it's like, oh, and by the way, it's also Google. Oh, and by the way, it's Yahoo. So it turns out that lots of people, having received an email, have plugged in their usernames and their password for their Hotmail, Google Mail, to a website that is basically asking this information, pretending to be Hotmail.
Okay.
And then them filling out that information, they've disclosed their security. So it's not a security flaw for people like Google. It's not a security like failure for Hotmail and so forth. This is an awareness failure by end users. I've seen a few of my friends send me emails that demonstrate their accounts were compromised. Compromised accounts were basically sending spam emails to their friends and inviting you to visit another website. And yeah, I was fortunate, I didn't quite get into that. But at the same time, I didn't get sent any stuff that says spam that I was going to go and sign up to. Now, there is a straightforward answer to this, which is if you think you were compromised, change your password.
Mm-hmm.
Good password security is a great paper by a chap called Bruce Schneier, who's not only the chairman of sort of security at British Telecom, but is also on the board of a number of other security councils. And
I've heard that guy's name.
It's in terms of when we talk about IT and security, Bruce, if you're not talking about Bruce Schneier and bringing him up in conversation in terms of IT security, or at least not referencing some of his work, then one might sort of question the experience of the person writing on that particular topic, because the guy set some sort of standards and rules and made it really clear, made some really obvious sort of ideas.
What about making up passwords or the use of passwords?
Security.
General and security.
Right, yeah, I mean, writes a regular newsletter that's turned into a podcast called Cryptogram.
I'm going to put that in the show notes.
Which is so worth listening to. So he has this paper on security. And I'm not going to go into it because it's like a 1 hour long conversation. But the very core part of it is that most passwords, and even I'm guilty of this, will break down into a common root password and a random extension.
Yeah.
Things like postcodes plus date of birth and so forth, or postcodes plus well-known address.
Yes.
So it's something you're always going to remember, plus something you think is slightly random.
Is this what he's advocating?
Now, this is what he's pointing out as the most common way. I mean, common passwords are things like 123456 or 2580 and things like that. And he's saying, well, the more common passwords that feel like they're secure are this sort of format.
Okay.
For myself, I mean, I know I run 8 different passwords.
Yeah.
And I have 8 different passwords that I combine to form 64 potential passwords. And each of those 8 different passwords is still 12 characters long.
Yeah.
So still sort of excessively long.
Yeah.
But I still combine them in different ways. So that I know if I combine them in one way, it's for a secure type of connection. And if I combine them in another way, then it's for a slightly less secure type of... it's less robust, I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
The flip side of this that never gets talked about is the usernames that we use. And we've talked about this on WordPress.
Oh, God,
Take out admin. Take out the obvious. If you're signing up for a user account... I mean, I'm pretty much loudmouth man everywhere, and it tends to be that your user account login becomes your profile details. And that's something that actually always needs to be separated, so that you can sign up with a user account with an equally meaningless name alongside an equally meaningless password.
Okay.
None of this will protect you from phishing. None of this product will protect you from putting your details in the wrong site.
From accidentally seeing a web page and thinking it's something else.
And I guess this comes back to a certain extent, the problem with authentication at the moment is it's still a one-way process. When we go to a website and log in, That website just lets us log in, and we sort of assume that that's trusted. There is no mechanism on that website that throws back a confirmation to us through a separate channel or a different channel to confirm to us that that was okay for us to connect.
We're looking for another standard here, Nick.
Well, even things like OpenAuth, which get sort of bounced around to a certain extent, you know, we need to have that third-party authentication so that not only is our login here going on, but let's say you're a phishing website and you're trying to fake the username and password details for this website. What should actually be happening is, if I'm logging into a website and that website has a secure authenticator that it works with, a third party, then my details actually don't go to the first website, they go off to that third party, who then passes a token to say this is okay to connect to the legitimate source. So a phishing website would get the password, but that password wouldn't be anything useful to the original site, it would only be useful to this authenticating site for whom the phishing company wouldn't be set up with. So they would, although they would have a password, it still wouldn't actually be an authentication password to connect into the site. And this is what OpenAuth is all about. This is what authentication mechanisms. And this is why they're sort of encouraging companies to take password authentication, make it a third-party trusted authentication, in the same way that we have security for websites is based on certificates and trusted certificates within our browser. It'll mean a whole sort of extra level of awareness that I don't think, I think we're 10 years out from anybody getting, and it being so synonymously easy to use that people will work with it.
Note to self, listen to this, to my own podcast when I put it up to this bit with Nick talking about this and try and understand it.
For those who are concerned, I did a screencast last week on how to check if your Google Mail account has been accessed illegally. And it shows you how to inspect your Google Mail account for connections.
And I'm pretty sure you've also mentioned there's a WordPress plugin that does a similar thing.
There's a WordPress plugin which is called IP Admin. It was developed by Matt Mullenweg. And every time you log in, if you're logging in from an IP address it doesn't recognize, it sends an email to all the administrators to say, someone just logged in on this account.
I think we've mentioned it before, but I'll put it in the show notes because it's just worth mentioning. Right, how are we doing? I think we're about 20 minutes into the show. Yes, 21 minutes into the show.
So I hope everybody's appreciating the music of this cafe.
Oh no, it's quite loud, isn't it? But never mind.
This is.
I love these tables. This whole cafe has got a very sort of.
Well, it's got the whole inside out.
Gaudi-esque. It's got a Gaudi-esque feel to it. It's got lots of, you know, Gaudi, that the guy in Spain that did all those nice mosaics and things.
Barcelona.
The Barcelona guy, Gaudi.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, Foursquare London.
See, we're talking about places. Great segue into.
Foursquare London.
A whole new social networking site to annoy and amuse your friends with. So I'm the mayor of Victoria. Foursquare.
What? You're the mayor of Victoria. You're the mayor of Victoria.
Victoria Station.
Victoria Station, not Victoria.
Foursquare
Australia.
Is another social networking site which is taking. It makes a game of where we all go and where we all check in from. So you can go to different places, and when you arrive there on your iPhone app, you have a little Foursquare application, you check in. You say, I'm in London, Victoria, or I'm at the Tupper Pub at the ICA.
I can hear the boos and hisses now from people going, oh, privacy, mom, don't want people knowing where I am.
Exactly, but don't use it then. So those of us who don't care about that, because actually, privacy is such an amazingly sort of misunderstood concept. Let's not get distracted on that one.
Carry on.
With Foursquare, you then, when you arrive at a site, you know, the first one time you check in, you unlock a badge for, you know, you're a newbie user.
Yeah.
As you visit 10 or more sites, you then get the chance to say.
Hang on, when you say sites, you mean physical locations.
Physical locations.
Geographic locations, yeah.
There's a book by Neil Gaiman
called
Neverwhere. There's a new book coming out from Angry Robots by an author called Mike Shevden called 61 Nails. And these books focus on locations in London. And for me, something like Foursquare is great, because when I arrive at a location in London and I check in, what will then happen is if any of my friends are in that area, or if there's any sort of advertising going on, I get basically a shout from that area to say, why not, I think I checked in the Angel in just around Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yep.
And it popped open a message from LJ Rich saying, why not visit this tea venue? Go on the first floor, the most unique tea experience you'll have.
Okay.
Things like what we do here, when we're doing social media white noise and we record a podcast and we talk about a cafe, we could be doing this with Foursquare and saying, you know, checking in with Foursquare, social media white noise, checked in at the In-N-Out Cafe why not stop here, experience the Gaudi-esque tile of the thing, the coffee in the cups, grab a chocolate cafe, and so forth. It's that sort of sharing and creating stuff, so that when I'm in a new location, so I'm going to say I've got to New York. Let's just imagine for a second I actually go somewhere, and I travel to New York, and we arrive, and I check in at New York. The first thing that's going to happen is all my friends who I've connected with in New York, in Foursquare, I'm going to see all the places they recommend.
Yes, and say, hey, yo, Nick's in town.
It's a live-action timeout, guys.
Right.
For the Web 2.0 generation. And it's the sort of rough guide to the internet placed into the real world and saying, here's where you can go. Here's what you might enjoy. Mm. To a certain extent, what we do with the social media white noise in recommending cafes and experiencing cafes, and people who then say, I'm going down to Brighton, we can point them at the website and say, here's a bunch of cafes we visited in Brighton.
Yes.
Foursquare is, here you go there, you check in, what are the places that are available? I've switched off all the Twittering that goes on, because you can annoy the heck out of your friends by just blatting them with, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here.
Yeah.
The flip side is that if you visited a place enough times more than anybody else within a short period of time, you become the mayor of that zone. So now it becomes a gaming element. I mean, I arrived at Tuttle.
Get a big metal chain.
I arrived at Tuttle. I checked in at Tuttle on a Friday morning at the ICA, only to find out that Udku had beaten me to it by 20 minutes. So there is a little gaming element.
Can you be usurped as the mayor of
you can be.
Area?
Oh, okay, so somebody else goes to the tourist station enough times and checks in, they'll take over.
Is there an iPhone app for this?
This is an iPhone app. Oh, there is a desktop app as well.
It is, okay.
There's an iPhone app.
All right.
There's a desktop app. I mean, it clearly has more smartphones incorporate GPS location-based services.
Lordy, lordy. Okay. So that's Foursquare. It's called...
Foursquare.
Okay, not Foursquare London.
I noticed, by the way, that we are being retweeted now by Brighton Feed and BH Feed on Twitter.
Oh, that was me, because I put hash Brighton in one of my earlier tweets.
Uh-huh. And as a result, we are now getting retweeted by hash Brighton.
Hey! See the power of Twitter. Any more live messages coming in?
No, none at all.
Okay.
It's a problem with running a podcast. People listen to it and think, maybe I should be... What we need to do is do some sort of time travel Twitter.
Yeah.
We will record it, and then we go back and ask for live tweets that we then talk about in the recording.
A little fun thing that I discovered off the Zen Internet blog, not the blog, the Zen Internet newsletter, which was also podcasted to Zen Internet. It's good to look at. U-Star. Have you heard of U-Star? Basically, you can buy this kit for
shaking the head really doesn't work on a podcast.
No, it doesn't work
at
you. No. He's shaking his head, man. For about $170. Dollars, American dollars, you can buy this kit that allows you to insert yourself into loads of films.
Just, okay.
It's pretty cool. U-star dot...
Well.
Not that I'd ever spend $170 to get myself on a movie, but you never know. Some people might. U-star, I think it's u-star.com. I've got it on my little...
Well, it'd be good to find it in the show notes and correct
yeah,
it
find
rather
it in
than searching
yeah,
during
it's
the
it's
podcast.
The
notes, and,
yeah.
and
just thought I'd give it a quick mention. How many for time?
Speaking of a quick mention, Google Apps for your domain.
Oh, right, yeah.
I actually noticed somebody the other day saying they were losing emails, and I've not seen this yet. They were losing documents.
I have noticed, actually, Gmail has been slower of late.
Well,
lots of oops,
if you are,
something went wrong.
If you're experiencing problems with Gmail speed, the two things to do are to clear out your cache.
Yeah.
And just look for any plugins like Firebug. In Firefox,
but
those two things will slow down Gmail excessively.
No, this is from Safari.
But speaking of losing things, T-Mobile Sidekick Network, which was outsourced to an alternative company, and they lost months worth of user data, contacts, calendaring information.
Lost, or let it leak out?
As in, they were transferring the data source, the data zone from one place to another for another storage area network provider.
Right.
Nobody provided some backups. Complications incurred. They couldn't roll back, and as a result, months of data were lost.
Oh, dude.
Which is a bit of a disaster. The thing is, cloud environments are great, providing you can back up your own data.
Yeah.
It always comes back to this. Providing you can back up your own data, cloud environments, I personally think, are very safe. So if you are trusting everything to one environment and you're making no effort to back up your own data,
yeah.
I kind of think, well, you're still no better than if you were looking after it on your own.
Yeah.
It's sad that they lost it, but I don't think the onus should be on them exclusively to always be responsible for it.
Nick, we should make up a creed, the creed of cloud, one of the creeds of
cloud
computing.
Cloud computing,
always have a local backup.
Thou shalt be responsible for thine own actions.
And data, presumably.
And data.
Thou shalt be responsible for thine own actions and data. The
Indeed.
Creeds of cloud computing.
So there we are. That's cloud computing. That's data to be lost. That's the QNAP TS410, which will be our own data storage device that we'll talk about in the next couple of weeks or so. The return of the 3 Mobile Buzz 3 Wi-Fi.
Very good.
Thanks very much to the 1,000 heads. The end of a good cup of coffee in the In and Out Cafe, and the end of show number 23. Inside Out Cafe, not In and Out.
Yes, show number 23. That pretty much brings it to the end at 29 minutes and 15 seconds. So I have been, and probably will be next time, Andy White, Aka Doctor Pod.
And I am the Loudmouth Man, aka Nick Butler. Again, if you're loving the show, leave comments and thoughts and opinions in the comments. If you're hating it, then DM me privately and air your griefs.
And don't forget, folks, you can subscribe in iTunes. Strangely enough, I think most of our people are just listening from the website, but don't forget, we are in iTunes, so do a search for... Well, I'm hoping the iTunes search works.
It does work indeed. Strange. Social media white noise comes up just fine.
Yes, and you can subscribe in iTunes, and it will obviously sync to your favourite physical device. Thank you very much for listening. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Social Media White Noise, brought to you by Andy White, Aka Doctor Pod, and Nick Butler, Aka Loudmouth Man. Please visit www.socialmediawhitenoise.com, where you can leave comments, listen to the show straight from the webpage, and subscribe for free. Email us at ulot@socialmediawhitenoise.com. Follow us on Twitter, Dr. Pod and Loudmouthman. We'd like to thank the coffee shops of Sussex, Social Media and Technology, without whom this show would not be possible. See you soon. Peace.